sustained our lives down to the present time and given us another opportunity that we could assemble together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm thankful for that. I appreciate the presence of each one of you. Appreciate remembering of me and my family and my mom and your prayers, and I appreciate you doing that. The world has a lot to say about works when it comes to religious affairs, and there are those who at one side of the extreme of it will say that an individual can somehow earn or merit their salvation by the things of which they do, and to the other extreme of that, one would say that there's nothing that an individual can do in order to be saved. And the Bible has a lot to say about works, and a misunderstanding about that leads to error being taught and believed concerning works. And you're probably aware, if you've listened to some of my sermons along the way, then I know that you are, because I've pointed out what the Bible says about works and the various different types of works in the Bible, but sometimes we miss those along the way, and we may not be aware, but maybe you are already aware that the Bible talks about different types of works. So I thought it'd be good for us this evening to think about at least seven types of works of which the Bible talks about. By the way, sermon outlines are in the back. If you want to pick those up, you can get them on your way out, and the ones from this morning are still there as well. But I just want us to very simply and quickly point out the various different works of which the Bible talks about, and most of which do not save. You know, sometimes folks accuse members of the Church of Christ as believing in a works-based religion. Well, they misunderstand and they misuse what the Bible says about works. And so lessons like this do us good to point out and to just understand the different ways in which the Bible uses and talks about works. The first one I want you to think about comes from the book of Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 and in verse 15. When the Bible says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Over in chapter 9 verse 32. The Bible says, wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. When you come over to the book of Galatians chapter 2, and in verse 16, as Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia, he stated, knowing that a man is not justified by the works. By what works, Paul? By the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And so when the New Testament talks about the works of the law of Moses, it points out then that we are not justified by doing those works. Why are we not justified by the works of the law? Well, because we are justified by faith in Christ, and that's really the purpose of the book of Galatians. I know that several of you listened to the radio and TV program as we had, I think it ended up being 40 lessons on the book of Galatians, and that's what Paul's dealing with in the book of Galatians, that we're not justified by the Old Testament law of Moses, but by faith in Christ. And there's a good passage that demonstrates that, Galatians 2 and in verse 16. When individuals forsake the law of Christ, and by the way, it is law. Some folks today don't believe we're under any type of law, but the Bible says that we are, Galatians 6, 2, and Paul makes mention of that in the book of 1 Corinthians, as he points out then that we are under the law to Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 21. And so, though we're not under the Old Testament law of Moses, we are under the law of Christ. And when we try to be justified by the things of the Old Testament law of Moses, we are fallen from. Could you finish that? Galatians 5 verse 4. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Why is that the case? Because we can't be justified by that Old Testament law of Moses. And so the Bible talks about works of the law. But he also talks about boastful works, like in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, in which Ethan did a good job in reading our scripture reading. When he said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so we're not saved by doing works of which I could boast or glory. It's rendered glory in the New American Standard Bible. And so you had the works of the law and you had the works of boasting, but also you had the works of righteousness, as stated in Titus chapter 3 and in verse 5. Titus chapter 3 and in verse 5. Not by works of, now watch what he says, notice the type of works he's talking about. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. We're not saved by works of righteousness, but according to the mercy of God we are saved. Remember, God had stated through the pen of the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah 10:23, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, it lieth not in man that walketh to direct his own steps." Again, that's Jeremiah 10:23. So the Bible talks about works of righteousness, of which he says, Titus 3, verse 5, that we are not saved by. And so we're not saved by the works of the law, we're not saved of boastful works, we're not saved of righteousness, and we're not saved by this next type of works, which is found in Galatians chapter 5, and in verse 19, Galatians 5, verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." That word manifest means that they're made known, they're evident. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things," now watch him, "they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." And so we're not saved by these works of the flesh. You may say, "Preacher, I didn't realize that there was so many different works pointed out in the Bible." And there are. In the book of 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. "We're admonished to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." A lot of folks are partakers of those things of which we just read about. Things of the world, works of the flesh from Galatians 5. Knowing that those who do those things cannot go to heaven except they repent of them and come to God. 1 Corinthians 6 verses 9 and 2, when Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, some of those had been guilty of performing, doing, partaking, following some of the worldly things that list in that passage. But then he says, "Now you are washed, but ye are justified, sanctified, washed." And so they used to do those things, but not after they obeyed the gospel of Christ. They'd been forgiven of those things, and that is a good passage to show individuals that though you do those things listed in that passage, you can come to the Lord and be forgiven if you come to Him on His terms. But also come with me to the book of Romans, chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 12. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off," what's this phrase? "Cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." And so the Bible talks about works of darkness. Now the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, "Wherefore have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Why is that the case? Well, we read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, that we've been delivered from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That is translated in the church. That's the kingdom of which we're in, by the way. We've not made it to heaven yet, and so that passage can't be talking about heaven. But we're in the church of our Lord, the church of Christ. It's order to cast off the unfruitful works of darkness. But also the Bible talks about good works. Like in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 21. And by the way, every single time that you read about good works, it's always associated with individuals and not with the church. Sometimes folks say, well, the church, it's a good work. Go back and look at that. Look at that phrase of good works. I don't think it's associated at all with the church, that phrase. And if I've missed one, then you feel free to point that out to me. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now, did he say the church? He said, if a man, and by the way, this church is not a man. One man don't make up the church. One woman don't make up the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the church, rather. I think I said a, but the church. In Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 10, these very simple passages to point out the various works of the Bible and what the Bible says about them. Colossians chapter 1 verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You come on over to Titus chapter 3 and in verse 1. So we think about good works. Puff him in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. In Ephesians 2 verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Well, how do I know what's a good work? How do you know what a good work is? Well, it just seems good to us, someone says. No, that's not the standard. Well, we've always been engaged in this. And so, it's good. Well, that's not the standard. The only way that we can know what a good work is by the Bible telling us so. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 17, talking about the Scripture, verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Then in verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, fully furnished unto every good work. That's what the Scriptures do. That we can be complete, instructed in every good work. One more point. In John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29, some religious leaders came to the Lord. Or some folks came to the Lord. And they said, verse 28 beginning, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe in whom? On him, rather, whom he hath sent. So the Bible talks about works of God. Jesus did the work of God. John 17:4. I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and in verse 10, the Bible points out concerning Timothy. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord. As I also do. Epaphroditus, as stated in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 30, the Bible says, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. And we're instructed and admonished in 1 Corinthians 15:58 to always abound in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What's the Bible say about works? that there's works of the law, works of boasting, work of righteousness, works of the flesh, works of darkness, good works, and works of God. Did you know all that? You say, preach, I already knew that. Good for you. Say, I didn't know that. You do now. And we all learn together and make application of those things in our lives to do the things that God would have us to be doing. If you're here tonight having never obeyed the gospel of Christ, you have opportunity to do that. Through hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, believing it, Mark 16:16, repenting of your sins, Acts 3:19, confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32, and being baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away and turned your back on the Lord and you want to be restored. Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession to God in prayer that He'll forgive you. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.